I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
Did I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I never believed in those support groups too much. But last year, I decided to join a support group for procrastinators, putting stuff off. We haven't met yet. But I'm still waiting to get the notice when we'll meet. Good to have you here, Dr. Ray Grandy. Not putting anything off. I'm going to give you the number right away quick. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call. Get onto the program. Delighted to have you with me. It is a call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee. I receive the call after it goes through the capable hands of either Eric Dumont, our first-line call screamer, or Andrew Kruchek, who is busy producing the program. He flips all the buttons and the switches and the lights and pretty much controls the tempo and the pace of the program. But I do get to say things in between the breaks. This is a program for you to call in about stuff that matters in your life. Things that are frustrating you, or people, places, persons, things, kids, adults, other people. It's the old, I love mankind, I just struggle with people. Okay, I'm a psychologist. I was at the office this morning. I was at the office yesterday. People ask that. Do you still see folks? Yeah, of course I do. Why would I not? That's what I was geared to do over the years. And this other thing, the radio, the media, the books, the speaking, that's just part of it, and something that has kind of evolved naturally over the years. But as a clinician, that was how I was educated, and so that's what I still do. 877-57-EQUAL, that is the number. Now, a couple of things. One, it'll be the last time I will mention this, because tomorrow we have a look back Friday. I will, good Lord permitting, with my wife, be down in Houston. Guadalupe Radio Network Summer Series. That's Saturday. It's a nice little thing. They got a kind of a dinner, food. I am the digestive period, and it is at the Lone Star Air Museum. I'm anxious to see that place. Get to see my son. He's there in Houston. I think a little suburb called Palisades, I think. If you'd like to sign up, you go to grnonline.com. And you can sign up, and I'd be delighted, absolutely delighted, to get to talk to some of you folks who might be familiar with the program or certainly are familiar with Guadalupe Radio Network. Okay, that's for that. Now, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I was wrestling with one of two monologues today. One was intuition. What is it? I did a webinar this morning with a delightful lady out of Toronto, Canada, talking about mother's intuition. And I thought, okay, well, that might be a nice monologue topic. And then I've had a topic in the hopper that I just haven't gotten to yet about discipline and authority. Now, before you say, Dr. Ray, you talk about that. Yes, I do. But you talk about it from different angles, and this is going to be a different angle. So I've decided to go with the discipline and authority thing. I feel pretty confident that in most of the homes that are raising children, or even grandchildren, that listen to this program, you're a pretty stable home. You love your kids, you love your grandkids, and there isn't necessarily a heavy amount of pathology in your home. Now, there may be some, of course, but I'm talking about, by and large, people who are living their lives, raising their children, and for the most part would be considered pretty stable, satisfactory homes. What is the hardest thing that you experience, the one thing you don't like to do as a parent? If I were to take a poll of 100 parents, I'm pretty sure the majority would say discipline. I wish I didn't have to. It's unpleasant. I don't like it. And you think about it, that's probably true. You're forcing someone by pain of penalty, someone you love, to do or not do something. And, unfortunately, because they are children, and by the very definition, immature, they repeat this. They do these things over and over. And this discipline issue, because it is tough, it makes parents sometimes feel bad, feel guilty, feel unsure of themselves, wonder if the kid isn't going to like them, wonder if they're doing it right. There's all kinds of ways that parents question their discipline. So because of that, they try to make it gentle, you know, like gentle parenting. They remind, or they talk, or they reason, all of which can work short term. But the actual discipline itself, in other words, you did this, there's going to be a consequence, and I'm going to enforce this consequence because what you did was wrong or hurtful, and I need to show you, at least in this loving environment that we call family, that you can learn self-control here so you don't have to learn self-control at the hands of the world who will hurt you. Nevertheless, I don't like doing it. I don't like sending my kid to the corner. I don't like making my kid write an essay. I don't like making my kid be grounded. I don't like the fact that I'm going to have to take a privilege away from you that I know you like. Most people don't like it. I didn't like it. For as much as I talk about how necessary it is to raise good kids, I did not like to discipline. I don't like it. I wish I didn't have to. So what am I saying? I'm saying if you do it well. In other words, if I'm going to discipline, I'm going to follow through and I'm going to put a consequence on it. Why? Because I want to have to do this less. If you have a rule in your home, siblings are not allowed to mistreat each other. No name calling, no taunting, no jumping off the ropes, no soap in the eyes. That's your rule. Now, of course, kids are going to mistreat each other, and you're going to have to enforce your rule. You're going to have to do something about it. You either punish one perpetrator. Ooh, isn't that... Ooh, can you use the word punish anymore? Ooh. Hold accountable. Hold responsible. You either punish one perpetrator or you punish both. You don't like doing it. You see him being unhappy. You see him being sad. You see him misunderstanding it. You see him looking at you like, why are you being so mean? Whatever it is. You generally don't like doing it. I don't like doing it. But if you do it, then make sure that you do it firmly and follow through. Why? Well, the main reason is you teach the lesson more consistently, but the other reason is this. You don't have to do it as often. If my 7-year-old and 4-year-old know that when they mistreat each other, they're going straight to the corner, no questions asked, it's going to happen, you're going to the corner, they are less likely to mistreat each other. And I am less likely to have to discipline him and send him to the corner. So if you don't like to discipline, the answer to that is to discipline better. Don't use a whole lot of words. Don't use a whole lot of arguing and negotiation. You follow through so that you're predictable. Your children know mom means what she says, dad means what she says. They're going to do something about this. I can count on it. It's going to happen. They're not going to argue with me. They're not going to give me 27 warnings. They're not going to tell me stop and then 12 minutes later tell me stop again. They're going to do something about it. And the more the kids are confident that that's the way it's going to be, the less they will challenge it. And the less they will challenge it, the less you have to discipline. And the less you have to discipline, the better you feel. And you don't feel guilty and rotten. So I guess what I'm saying is this. If you have authority, and your kids know you will follow through, you have to use your authority less often. If you try to dodge having to assert your authority, you end up not only getting frustrated, but feeling like you're doing nothing but disciplining when you're not doing disciplining. You're just doing a lot of words and emotions. Authority makes you a kinder parent. It's that simple. And you have to discipline less. All right, got a lot of calls up there. Promise to get to all of you. 877-573-7825.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Grandy, host of The Doctor Is In, Ave Maria Radio for 20 years. I've been with him. And during that time, I've watched them spread our precious faith to anyone, anywhere. Well, also in that time, their equipment, the equipment that they had is cutting edge, no longer is cutting edge. It's kind of like an iPhone 5. We need your help. We absolutely need your help. Visit AveMariaRadio.net. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town, where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
I ask your patience. There are some very poignant calls up there, a lot. And I know you folks are very patient as you wait through the program, and I try to get to everybody. I remember I had a consultant. This guy was supposed to watch over us as we did our show way, way, way back when I was with Catholic Family Radio. And he said to me, he goes, "No, just go quicker to the calls and get rid of the calls right away quick and just answer their question." And I said, no. I'm not going to do that. I want to talk to the folks. I want to get some details. I want to find out a little bit's going on. And I'm not going to say, "Oh, okay, I talked to you. You got 1 minute. Then you shut up." Shelley from Washington, she says, she wanted to add to my monologue. Shelley, I covered everything in my monologue. There's no way you can add to it.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Hey, babe, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so glad you're there. I'm in a program called Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families, ACA. Mm-hmm. And in our program, it's a 12-step program. And what it is, it's to find out, the laundry list is, you know, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. We live from the viewpoint of victims. We either become alcoholics, marry them, or both, or other addictive things. We are approvalist seekers. Our self-esteem is zero.
Boy, you guys are messed up.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I'll tell you what, as soon as I found this program, they had phone lines, and I swear I didn't hang up for a year. I could not believe what I was hearing. I found out through this program how to love myself, which I'm very grateful for.
You say this and program, you mean me?
If only I'd known of you before, which I did not, you would have saved me so much. But part of the process is in the very beginning, we are angry with our parents, and a lot of people step away from their parents because it's generational, and what we learn is it's how we were raised. And it's not until we get through the, you know, working through the process that we start dealing with how that it's our reactions to how our parents raised us. It's our reactions. And so we learn to better react to life. And just understanding that, and then we also go back and look at our parents as babies or children and see how they were raised. And so it's totally generational. My mom had a horrible beginning, and I didn't know anything about this until she was dead. And I so wish I had known before. But you talk about the, you know, not having anything to do with your parents. And I just wanted to bring up that in our program, that kind of happens. But then after a while, if we heal, then we realize that it's now we're dealing with us. We cannot blame our parents anymore.
I'm going to take it a step further, Shelley.
Yes, sir.
If you wear the mantle of Christian, then you don't necessarily have to heal before you accept your parents. You can look at them with all their frailties and all their pathologies and whatever it is, and you can say, okay, I can forgive them. In your case, it helped you a lot when you heard about how your poor mom was raised herself. You're thinking to yourself, man, what a mess she was, and I got stuck with her as a mother, and that's the way she raised me, and that's why I'm a mess today. But then you found out, ooh, that poor lady, she went through a lot of this herself in her own upbringing. And you softened for her, toward her. You forgave her. You tolerated so much of that. And you're right. I've talked about this many times in the program, Shelley, which is we look back on our parents and go, they didn't do it right. They messed me up. Well, sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just I don't like the way they raised me and I don't like the way they are now. But it sounds to me like you got some good advice there. But I was a little disappointed. Initially, you weren't clear. You said you learned a lot from the program. And I thought, well, how nice. You learned a lot from me. And then I find out it was not even me. It was some other program. I'm going to let it slide this time, Shelley. Don't let it happen again.
Thank you, Dr. Ray. I appreciate that. If I'd have found you years earlier, I would have been so much better and a better mom instead of learning
now,
from my mom.
That's better. You should have started out like that.
I should have. Thank you so much.
God bless you, dear. Thanks. Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
You know, I'm going to get an email where somebody's going to say, I can't believe that. You're so full of yourself. Mike, geez, Mike, this sounds like it's going to be a journey. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell me what's happening.
Well, I'm having issues with self-control. I've been married for 52 years. My wife is getting early signs of dementia, and I get so frustrated that I feel so guilty at night that I don't know what it is that I'm doing wrong. I mean, I do get irritated at myself and not at her because I can't, you know, I can't understand what this disease is doing to her. And when I pray at night, you know, I ask for forgiveness for being so mean, but how does one deal with self-control when your loved one going downhill, for the lack of a better word?
What you're saying, Mike, is I don't want this to be happening. I don't want my wife to be like this. She's too young to be like this. And this would be called early onset, probably Alzheimer's, or there could be some other type of dementia, but early onset. And typically, the earlier the onset, the faster it progresses, which is a bad word to use to describe it.
Right.
In the first stages of this, the spouse or the caretaker wrestles with how much can they control this? How much do they actually know what they're doing? For example, if she asks you the same question four times, and you say, I answered that. I told you three times where we were going. And you think to yourself, she's still capable. She shows a lot of capability in a whole lot of other areas. She should know. I think the best way to lower your frustration, Mike, is to recognize that it's going to be very patchy. And your wife will do some things directly because of the illness, and it may look like that she doesn't need to be this way because she still has a lot of capability left. But in fact, if you interpret it as a lot of the illness talking, you won't get so frustrated. You'll realize that in many respects, she's as scared as you are about all this because she knows something is happening and it's scaring the wits out of her. Has she said anything like that to you?
No, she's just like, I mean, she's herself. It's just that repeating, doing the same thing over and over, it's just that, you know, her mom lived with us for 11 and a half years with dementia, and she passed away here in my house, and my wife took care of her, and I see what she learned from taking care of her mom, and I saw it, but I don't get it. I mean, it just, I know it's going to get worse before it gets better, but I myself wanted to deal with it, and I don't know how.
Well, Mike, it's going to get worse before it gets worse is a better way to put it. You have to recognize that this is an illness that's going to go in one direction, downhill.
Right.
And if you continue to tell yourself that, if you recognize it, if you say, my wife is going to do a lot of very frustrating things that I wish I could correct, or I wish she would understand if I remind her and tell her and explain to her. But in fact, it's going to become real obvious that she can't. When you realize that she can't, you won't be quite as upset. It'd be like demanding if she had a broken leg. Well, come on! Why can't you walk? Well, my leg, it won't let me. Oh, come on! And I think that's a little bit what's happening with the dementia. You want to say, come on! She's going, I can't. Now, she's not saying that in so many words, but her behavior indicates that.
Right.
My aunt.
Well,
was,
I like what you.
Go ahead, sir.
I like what you said about it's the illness talking to me, or it's
yes.
The illness doing those things.
Yes, it
and
is.
I never thought of it that way, and I think that I can understand now that it's not her telling me those things; it's the illness. Which I appreciate you saying that. I understand that.
Her mind is not working at full capacity, Mike. It's not. And so much of what she says and does is a result of that illness. And you say to yourself, yeah, well, I don't know how much of it's the illness and how much of it's her personality. It doesn't matter. Because at this point, the frustrating stuff, you attribute to the illness. You don't attribute it to her. And there's going to come a point where she won't even recognize that she has any kind of deterioration. In the first part of the illness, people do, and it scares them. But once they get to the point where they fail to recognize that, in fact, they're deteriorating, then it can become even more frustrating. Thank you.
appreciate the company. I've noticed something. My aging, my older age, it's coming at a really bad time. Could have come earlier when I was in better shape. All right, there's a number of calls up there. Everybody's being patient. I got time to get to them. So let's go to Jackie from Kansas, who is, well, she's asking about a problem that isn't a problem. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Did I hear you say it's not a problem?
Right. Now, why would I say something so dumb, right?
I don't know. You have not seen this kid.
you know, wait, Jackie. Do you know how many people say that to me? Okay, Dr. Ray, I know you've been doing this for 40 years, but you've never seen one like this one.
I raised several of my own and a few of some other people's, and I have not seen... I started noticing it about 3 months. He didn't just cry. He threw fits, and it was temper and rage. And other than when you cross him, he's just the sweetest little boy in the entire world.
Don't cross him. Jackie, don't cross him. Give him what he wants at any time. Jeez, that's simple.
When he gets tired, when he gets hungry, mostly when he gets tired, he does not want to go to bed, but he gets mean. He pulls hair, and he gets a hold of my glasses, and he will not let go. And the more you try to get your hair or your ear or your glasses away from him, the harder he holds on. And, you know, if you have him in a backpack, you don't have very many hands to get a hold of his hands.
Why do you let him get close enough to grab you?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to rock the little kids to sleep. But
all right, let's go back to what you said at 3 months.
I need help. I have to go babysit him right now. All right. I need help.
Well, one-year-olds can only do so much damage. That's just got that. All right, so why did I say this isn't a problem? Because it's not. Here's why. You said back when he was 3 months, boy, this kid could just rage, right, at 3 months? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to assume that there's nothing physically going on. He's in pain or anything like that. I'm going to assume that the doctors have given it the best look that they can, and they're essentially saying, nope, healthy, healthy little boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. We got to make sure we got that taken care of, because I know a whole bunch of moms would call me and say, Dr. Ray, you know, he could have this, he could have that. My son had this, my son had that. So let's just make sure that's it. So what seems to be the case is we've got a reactive little boy. For whatever the reason, he fires off. All right. Got that. Hey, by the way, do you know how long I cried? I think I was 18 months old, and my mom left me with my aunt because they had to go somewhere. Do you know how long I cried?
All day?
9 hours, yeah.
Oh, my.
9 hours. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, when they brought my sister home, I was about 22 months old, and they put her in a crib, and I took a shoe and threw it in her face. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, all that said, so don't make me mad. Now,
okay.
What it sounds like is okay when he gets frustrated. Obviously, he's kind of trip switch. He lets it all hang out. And you said, well, I raised 22 children and I didn't have any of them do that. Okay, good. None of your kids did that. This kid does. Oh, that's all that means. He does. There's nothing wrong. Then he's just kind of a fiery little guy. My son Peter used to throw furniture. He was 18 months old, and we came downstairs, and we found all of our furniture tossed. All of it, just thrown. And he was sitting on top of it, kind of like, look what I did. He was the toughest kid we had. He's 28 years old now, and he is one of the sweetest, nicest, most thoughtful guys. Now, that said, what I'm saying to you is this doesn't mean anything for his future. Okay, this is just a one-year-old who's fiery. All right, we got that. So, a couple of things. When he throws this kind of craziness, you put him in a playpen, you let him burn himself out, or you strap him into his high chair, you let him burn himself out. You put him somewhere where he can rage until he's burnt out, and then you go get him. That's it. You go get him. In terms of him grabbing at you, grabbing your face, grabbing your hair, grabbing your eyes, grabbing your nose, grabbing your wallet, whatever he grabs.
He does all that.
Yeah. Keep in mind, look out. The guy's got elasto arms, all right? He's an octopus. He's going to grab anything he can grab. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Man, don't be thinking he's going to be a pickpocket. This kid is going to rob people. I know it. I know that's what's going to do.
No,
you just got to stay out of the way. Do you ever see these guys that are snake handlers? They always hold the snake far enough away from their body so that the snake can't come back on them to bite them. Uh-huh. It's the same thing with your son, with grandson. You got to hold him kind of away so he can't grab your face. Now, if you rock him and he's trying to grab you and he's throwing a fit because he doesn't want to be rocked, then you don't rock him. All right, you take him, you put him in a playpen or a pack and play or whatever it is, and you just kind of let him burn himself out. Then you go get him because he's exhausted now, and then you can rock him.
Yeah.
That's it. I wouldn't.
What about when he puts himself... So yesterday we had to take a toy away from him that was a little too advanced for him, and he couldn't manage it. And he
bicycle?
Threw himself... Well, no, it was a little indoor slide. Mm-hmm. But the steps were too long, and he couldn't get up them. But he threw himself on the floor and kicked. I have never seen that kind of behavior
in
a one-year-old.
Oh man, my mom!
I thought that was
my mom took something from me once. And I went over to the cinder block wall and I started beating my head against a cinder block wall. Yeah, this kind of explains the way I'm like. You know what my mother did?
Glad you said it, because she let you do it, didn't she?
She came over and she said, "Here, let me help you." She wasn't going to do it, but I didn't know that. And I just realized headbutting is not all it's cracked up to be. I got stories of me. I got a lot of stories. So that doesn't mean anything. You're looking at a kid with a fiery disposition. Okay, fine.
And he bites.
Well, you got to watch that. You got to keep him away from him. He's like a snapping turtle. You got to keep him away.
Okay.
But he's only one. Okay. Come on, throw him in a pack and play.
Okay. I can do that. Okay.
All right, dear. I'll talk to you. See
you. Thank you.
You know, think about it. When you're 1 year old and everybody... Now, think about how big somebody would be next to you proportionately. You know, 1 year-old comes up to just a little bit above your knee. So a person of that comparable size next to you would be, what, 25, 30 feet tall? You realize how brave a 1 year-old has to be, or foolish, to attack something that size? I'm impressed. They are the bravest people in the world. Got room for a few more calls. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Got plenty of time. Let's talk to Gail. She wants to tell me pretty much how wonderful I am. Either that, or I'm looking at this summary of her call, and maybe she just wants to tell me how wonderful she is. But I twisted it. Hi, Gail.
No, Dr. A, I'm not wonderful. I just did that because I was second old of 11 children. And my mother was really funny. She liked little babies, but after they got to be like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, then they annoyed her, but she didn't have that kind of structure. And I would be like 13 years old and I'd be seeing and I'd be saying, when I'm a mother, I'm going to do it like this. So then when I became a mother and I had my 3 boys and they had an absent father, worked in kind of this job where he was gone all the time, so I became the disciplinarian. And I just wanted them to, I guess it's my thought is, Dr. Ray, that you're creating these people. people that go out into the world, and are people going to hate them, or are they going to make people annoyed because they're discourteous and the way they act? So that was kind of my goal, to raise these three guys. So I did pretty much everything you're saying, which is...
Before you even knew me, Gail.
Exactly. I did what you were saying, but I don't know how it came to me. It just was, but I had a paddle, and it was in the 70s, so now I couldn't do that. But I didn't even hardly, I never pretty much used on the other two, the older one and the younger one. But the middle one was quote-unquote hyperactive. So we controlled it by diet. I didn't let him have any additives or sugar or anything, and it really helped. So if he would be somewhere and sneak Kool-Aid, then he'd be out of control when he got home. But I had this paddle, and it got so that all I would do was walk over to the cupboard and put my hand up on the cupboard, and then it would stop. Because he knew, and see, that's what I'm saying, your idea to me is the only way to create that, even if you have a wild, crazy kid, if they know that you're going to keep your word. And I don't hear people really say that anymore, Dr. Ray, because the world has a different take on it. But I just want to say that my boys, you know, grew up to be strong men. And I was going to say, my one son, he was the youngest SWAT team sergeant in the city of Seattle. And they just were all that way. But he wasn't a mercenary type of person. He ended up going back to school, getting his master's in psychology. And then he taught.
So he turned out bad. He was doing okay. Then he took a turn for the worse.
Well, he ended up teaching in community college in Wyoming to all the native peoples there for 5 years. And so,
okay, then he turned back around. Okay.
Yeah.
He had that little divot in his adjustment there where he got a psychology degree. I got it. Well, what you're saying to me, Gail, is that you were kind of paddling upstream as a parent, right?
Yes. Yes, and oftentimes...
Gail, let me say that again. Okay, I hate to repeat myself. You were paddling upstream, okay?
Did I miss it?
You did. I'm not going to slow this whole conversation down for you.
Yes, I am a paddler upstream. But there is guilt sometimes as a parent when you see how other people are more... I guess the word would have been then relaxed about, so many people would say, you're too strict with those boys. But Dr. Ray, once they got to be like in high school, I didn't give them curfews. I didn't do any of that. And they just never did anything and never let me down because the structure was there. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just that they knew what was expected.
That is the ugly accusation against parents so often with healthy standards. You're too strict. Your kids are going to rebel. You're stifling their individuality. And these are people that are not only not too strict, they're only too strict compared to the culture, which is way too lax.
Yeah.
So what happens is they get accused of all these things. And I always say, what happened to you? Which is, well, look at the results. My wife used to get that accusation. People would say to her, you're too strict on those kids. And then, at the same breath, they'd say, you got great kids. And my wife would say, well, which is it? Am I too strict or do I have great kids? It can't be both. Too strict implies something's wrong and that it's going to blow up on you. But great kids implies that somehow they are turning out okay. What does that mean? Despite you, Gail, you were clear in your expectations. The kids knew it. The boys knew it. And they turned out great, except for that little diversion there where he got his degree in psychology. But I'll overlook that one. And then...
Dr. Ray, can I go ahead?
Yes, go ahead, dear.
I just want to say, can I just pay you what is my highest compliment? Because I'm really strong-minded, and I see everything going on in the world, and I'm really sad about it. I try to... you know, move ahead and just know that in the end, you know, God's still in charge of this world that we're in. So I try not to think or worry about it. But, you know, I don't really listen to a lot of things or pay attention to a lot of things. You're the one person I listen to because because I just feel that you just know. And if only parents out there will listen to what you say, because this will be the only way their children are going to be okay in the world that we live in today, because there's so much permissiveness. And I was just thinking to myself in the car, when you come to a stop sign now, there's no respect. It's just whomever can beat the other to get through. So I guess children are getting raised to not think about consideration or that selflessness that, you know, Christ taught us without seeming too religious, I think.
Well, you were doing pretty good there for a while, Gail. You started complimenting me, and then you quickly went on to another subject, which I thought, well, I thought you were going to keep going. I mean, I gave her a lot of time, and she never really returned to complimenting me. Oh, well, I'll let it slide. Gail, you're a delight, and I'm glad for your boys. Glad for your boys. They must have had a pretty solid mom. That's all I can say.
You have my highest reverence, Dr. Ooh. Ray. There's really nobody doing what you're doing now, so thank you so much.
Oh, there's others out there, my dear. Maybe they don't have the microphone I do, but there are others out there. I've run across a lot of good counselors who recognize the very same things you do and much of what we talk about in this program. So thank you, dear. Thank you for the call. God bless
you. Thank you.
This is Dr. Ray. Got to scoot for a second.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Granny, host of The Doctor Is In. Ave Maria Radio has been putting out fabulous Catholic teaching, but the equipment we've got is aged, like me. Needs a lot of help. Some of the stuff is just hard to replace anymore. If you go to AveMariaRadio.net, please, for a donation for the equipment to reach much farther. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about worship and love. After a very successful Alpha series at his parish at the time, many attendees were excited and hungry to learn even more about God. Out of that longing for the Lord, the Next Necessary Step series was formed. Don't miss out this week as Father John teaches about what worship means to us and to God, as well as what true love really looks like. Tune in for Christ is the Answer Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Sometimes the timing on this program is exquisite, and it isn't usually because of me, it's because of the callers. And we have a caller, she's waiting patiently. She said, how do I get tickets for the TV shows in Buffalo coming up August 19th and 20th? All right, here's the info. They will be at the WNED Studios in downtown Buffalo. The times will be 5 and 7:15, both nights. On the 19th, Father Larry Richards, who is a perennial favorite of the program, will be there the whole night. We're going to have some fun with Father Larry. And I've been noticing the numbers with the Father Larry show are higher than the numbers with just me. I'm not trying to take it personal. So this dear lady says, how do I get tickets? There's two ways. You can go to thestationofthecross.com. That's one big long word, thestationofthecross.com. I got that wrong yesterday. I just put Station of the Cross. And you just click on the sign-up button. That's it. Click on the sign-up button. Takes you right there. You can decide which shows you want. Easy enough. You don't need tickets. You just need to sign up. And you don't have to pay anything. I'm not worth anything. If you wish to call, and I think I heard Eric talking to this
dear lady, about calling. It is 716. Of course, those of you in the Buffalo area know that's the area code. 716-839-6117. You asked for Karen. 716-839-6117. Or you just look up Station of the Cross, and that'll give you the contact number right there. And you can sign up for 1, 2, 3, 4 shows, many as you want, many as you want. And when you got a big audience like that, we can do a lot more things. We can have audience bits. We can have audience questions. I've already got some things planned with the audience already. You will see your face on EWTN. They usually run those programs a couple times a week. And then throughout the later part of the year, they will rerun the show. So you will have multiple debuts on the EWTN television network. So there you are, dear lady. I hope that helps you. TheStationOfTheCross.com. Last I looked, I talked to Zach, and he gave me some numbers, and they were already very healthy. So that's close to a month away, or a little less than a month away. So hoping for a repeat of what we had 5-6 years ago. I want to add a little bit to what Gail was saying and my opening monologue was saying. With the tsunami of experts who began pretty much with Dr. Spock, but he was just a trickle in a flood, is all he was. Since then, psychology experts are just everywhere, hundreds and thousands of books and articles and interviews and every aspect of parenting. We're going to tell you what you're doing wrong and why it's going to be a problem for your kid who's going to be on reality television talking about you as he goes through his 27 years of therapy because you just messed him up because you were such a psychological Neanderthal. That's really messed parents' heads up. It just really, really has. But Christians of all people should understand what we're dealing with. A central doctrine of Christianity is fallen human nature, which means that little kids act a lot out of impulse and self-interest. Of course, so do we adults, but maybe not quite as much, I hope. As a result, they can throw fits, they can defy, they can argue, they can be sneaky, they can do all these things because that's who they are. And so much of modern psychology goes against that. I had a woman come up to me and she said she's taken child development. Her recent final was one question. Are children naturally cooperative? I asked her, what did you say? And she said, well, I know what my prof wanted me to say. I was supposed to write why they are naturally cooperative and how they all just want to get along with the parents' rules and limits. I said, do you believe that? She goes, no, not at all. I'm a mother of three. If I did believe it, it got knocked out of me with my kids and the reality of raising children. I said, well, I know what your prof wants. She goes, yeah, I know too. I go, how unreasonable of him. How uncooperative. But you see this reflected in the way we describe children, all the adjectives we use. Strong-willed. High maintenance. Difficult child. Difficult child is redundant, by the way. Seven gone on 17. Seven gone on 17. So stubborn. Contrary. Black is white. White is black. Going to do what she wants to do. And we talk about all this like it's some kind of aberration. Like I just got stuck with a tough kid. No, you got stuck with a kid. And if you have one who isn't that way so much, enjoy it. Got yourself a bit of a freebie. A mulligan round from God. He said, here, play with this. I'll save the real kid till later. But we've forgotten this. And so many parents characterize their children as difficult and problematic. When in fact, yeah, they can be difficult and problematic. But some of that, maybe all of it, for some, is their nature. It's their fallen nature. And we as parents socialize and moralize them out of it. most of the people who come in my office say that. But he's just tough. He's just tough. I go, well, is there an older child? Yes, nothing at all like this. Very cooperative, very pleasant, very mature. I said, well, you got a freebie on that one. You got a real kid there second. Now, that doesn't mean the parents don't struggle with this kid, don't have discipline problems with him, in part because maybe they develop bad habits, because they're a little shell-shocked by this kid pushing on them. But in fact, if you view it as fallen human nature guides an awful lot of kids' behavior, you don't get so frustrated. You realize, okay, that's why they got a parent. I got to help them get out of some of this fallenness as adults. And you know as well as I do, some adults stay fallen. And that's the ones that really frustrate us. All right, I got to go. Thanks, Eric Dumont. Thanks, Andrew Kuchek, producer man. And I thank all of you. Good Lord permitting, I'll see you in Buffalo. You want to check it out, August 19th and 20th. TheStationOfTheCross.com. Be wonderful. Wonderful to meet a lot of you folks that may be listeners. Walk with God. And don't be strong-willed about it.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.